dribbling saliva down his beard, scratching the gate like a madman. Realizing his identity was known, he barely escapes with his life. And there in 1 Samuel 22, there verse 1, it says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. This perhaps is the lowest moment of his life. He had no security, no food, no one to talk to. He is alone in a very dark and damp cave, away from everybody except God. He would find himself very much so living on a prayer. Psalm 142 actually tells us how he felt, all alone. Now, if you'd like to, go ahead and turn over there to Psalm 142, that we might get a little insight into the feelings of David there in the cave by himself. Psalm 142. The commentators believe this one to be the first of his cave psalms before the other ones, and partially because of what is said in the psalm. You'll notice Psalm 142 there, the beginning says, a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make supplication. What's he doing? Well, he's living on this prayer. I'm crying out to the Lord. Verse 2, I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. David felt he was in dire straits. He was in a lot of trouble. Verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. David felt he was all alone. This is one reason why we think this is one of the first of the cave psalms, because this is before anybody comes to him, before the 400 come to him in 1 Samuel 22. No one acknowledges me, he says. No one cares for my soul. Have you ever thought, no one pays attention to me? No one cares about my situation? Dear friend, then you are in good company with David, because David felt exactly that way in this moment in life. Verse 5, it says, I cried out to you, O Lord. Do you not see the despair of David? The dampness of the cave, the loneliness of that desperate spot? So he says, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name, that righteousness shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. David asks for God's help, and God delivers, as you will soon see in the narrative. But I think it's important for us to note that David is exactly where God wants him now. When God brings us to nothing, it often is to reroute our lives, not to end them. To change our lives for the better, not to finish them. Case in point, think of Moses. Think of Joseph. Think of Elijah. Moses runs to Midian and thinks, this is it for me. And he becomes a shepherd there in the wilderness. And God says, I have you exactly where I want you, Moses. Think of Joseph when he was sold to Egypt and becomes a slave. And then eventually becomes a prisoner. And he thinks, what am I doing here? And God says, I have you exactly where I want you, Joseph.
Think of Elijah
when he's on the run for his life and he says, I alone am left. Just take my life, Lord. And the Lord says, Elijah, have you exactly where I want you. There's still 5,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. See, all could say that I've lost this and I've lost that and this must be the end. But the truth was, it was only the beginning. And David here says, I'm in the cave. All is lost. I alone am left. And God says, perfect. So that David might declare what he declares there in verse 5 of Psalm 142. You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Remember, this series is titled David Having a Heart for God. And if we want to have a heart for God as well, then we also must have moments in life where we're brought to that realization that God will be our refuge and He'll be our portion in the land of the living. So David finds himself in a very real place of living on a prayer. And now God will answer his prayers. Turn back to First Samuel. Chapter 22. The second half of verse 1 says, so when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. So we see first his family hears of where David is at, and they come down to David. Notice it's not just his father and his mother, but also his brothers too. And you might remember the last time the brothers were mentioned in Scripture. There they were poking David and prodding David, making fun of David. Well, what are you doing down here, David? As we're kept before the Philistines, aren't there sheep that are missing your watch care? Get back to your sheep, young brother. Wonder how different things must have been now. I wonder if they talked about these things in the cave. Maybe reminisced and maybe even laughed a little bit. Sometimes we have to do that with things in life as well. When we look back, we laugh and we learn. We laugh and we learn. And here they are all gathered together as one family again in the cave of Adullam. Now, verse 2 tells us that everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Now, the word must have spread very slowly over months as David is in this cave. If it goes too fast, then David's whereabouts would have been discovered too quickly by Saul. But this gave time for hundreds of men to be able to gather to David. Archaeologists say this cave was about 16 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Brother Jeremy DeHutt and Barry Britnell, those that I'd mentioned a number of times during this pandemic, they are a part of the Appian Media. Those videos that I mentioned done by Brethren, high quality videos of their scouting the land of Palestine. And I remember one of the videos, they went to the cave of Adullam, and there Jeremy DeHutt and Barry Britton all go inside, and you see it is quite a spacious and lengthy cave, adequate enough to hide hundreds of men for some bit of time. And I would encourage you to go online and to see that video to get a glimpse of this cave where David and his followers would have hidden. Now, who are these men? Well, the Bible tells us that they are the distressed, those in debt, the discontent. The distressed is the Hebrew word zuk, meaning under pressure, under stress. Hundreds of pressured people have gathered to David. Their lives were not fun. They were not in a great spot, and that's why they come to the cave, that they might be with David. It tells us those in debt. Nasha is the Hebrew word here, meaning to lend on interest. Almost interest making it impossible to square. So these individuals had nothing left to their name. They had lost it all. And they gathered to David. The discontented, mar nefesh is the Hebrew here. That word mar, that might sound familiar. You remember when Naomi makes her way back to Bethlehem and she says, "No longer call me Naomi, call me Mara, for I am bitter in my soul." Well, that's the meaning of the Hebrew word here, to be of bitterness of soul. So they were in trouble too. And they come to David for relief in the cave. All of these would soon become David's family and friends, and he would help them, and they would help him. You see, sympathy with suffering is usually felt best by those who have suffered themselves. It is one reason why Jesus came to this earth, why he put on flesh and bone to live as you and I, to walk a few steps in our feet. The Hebrew writer tells us there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, "And in all these things he had to be made likened unto his brethren, that he might aid those who are tempted, him himself being tempted." It says there in Hebrews 2 verse 16 that he came to give aid to the seed of Abraham. He sympathy with suffering is usually felt best by those who have suffered themselves. Now David may not see it like Moses didn't see it, like Joseph didn't see it, like Elijah didn't see it. But God here is training his new king. And what is he training him in particularly? He's training him in compassion. That this king would be a different king than King Saul. That he'd be a new king in compassion. If a ruler can know the hearts of his subjects, if a ruler can know their sorrows, their wrongs, and say with them that this is an individual I can care for, this is an individual I must provide for and take care of. And this surely was a precious experience for a king. Never would David become immune to the sufferings of his subjects when he becomes their king. And if we want to have a heart for God, then we too would also be trained in compassion as well. If you think about it, do you remember the parable of Nathan when he comes to David and tells them the little story of the ewe lamb and the man, and how much that man loved that lamb and it became like one of his family members? And then he hears in the story of how the rich man oppresses him and takes what is his that he might offer it to his friends. And David, when he hears this story, says, "That man shall surely die." Why would David say that? Well, because he had been trained in compassion. David was the king of the underdog. And we see that beginning here with all the people that are suffering, all the people that are stressed, all the people that are struggling that come to David. Now, most often in common suffering, the strongest bonds are formed. The hearts of these comrades were being knit together with strands of steel-like love and loyalty. And in this band of brothers, the Bible tells us that many would go on to become his mighty men of valor. When he takes office, many of them would be included in his cabinet of his associates and his counselors. Again, David doesn't see that here in the moment. But God has given him the right people for the right time. And it wasn't because they were strong themselves in this moment either. But we see, as Paul learned, in one's weakness, they begin to learn true strength. And God begins to fashion and mold this band of brothers, this group, into a great force to be used in the coming kingdom. Now we learn in chapter 25, verse 13, that this 400 soon becomes 600. Among these would include men like Ahimelech and Abishai and even Joab himself. Many names who are recorded in the list of heroes by David near the end of his life were individuals that came to the cave of Adullam. And I think it's important, and it's one reason why I'm taking more time in this lesson to discuss this and actually try to finish the chapter later tonight, that we take a moment and think about some of these individuals so that we get a great picture, a picture with more depth of who it is that is gathered to David in this cave and the importance of them. Because not once, but twice, is a great list of names mentioned in Scripture of those that were David's mighty men. You find that list in 2 Samuel 23 and in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and chapter 12. And I'd like for a moment for us to turn to the reference in 1 Chronicles. So let's turn over there to 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and we'll also look at chapter 12 as well. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and 12. The record says there in verse 10, "Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom." Notice how it says they strengthened themselves with him. So David strengthened them, and they strengthened David. They strengthened themselves together with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Jehoshabim, the son of Ahakmonite, chief of the captains. He had lifted up his spear against 300 killed by him at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Padasim. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley. So the people fled from the Philistines, but they stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Now notice verse 15. "Now 3 of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into" where? "The cave of Adullam. And the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim." So there it mentions some of these mighty men who would do some of the most unimaginable acts in terms of military victories. And there they gather first to David, and they strengthen each other together. The reference in 2 Samuel mentions about how Eleazar and how the hand clave to the sword as he fought violently against individuals to secure David victory. Shammah was also included in this time in which they defended the ground full of barley. It goes on to mention some others here. You'll notice in verse 20, Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief of another three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Notice verse 22, Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And that's not all. Verse 23, and he killed an Egyptian, a man of great height, 5 cubits tall. In the Egyptian's hand there was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff, wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. Verse 26, also the mighty warriors were Asahel, the brother of Joab. And so there's a number of these men who would go on to become great valiant warriors for David that are included in chapter 11. But it goes on in chapter 12. And it says, verse 1, now these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers in war. Notice verse 2, armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left, and hurling stones and shooting arrows with the bow. They were of Benjamin. And the record mentions Saul's brethren. So even some of them defected to David. You'll notice further in verse 8, some Gadites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness. Mighty men of valor who trained for battle, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as gazelles on the mountains. And so these become very hardened battled warriors. It goes on to say in verse 16, and some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, if you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if you betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the captains, and he said, we are yours, O David. We are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you, and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. So David received them and made them captains of the troop. Verse 22, for at that time they came to David day by day to help him until there was a great army like the army of God. You see that? Until there was a great army like the army of God, they came to David day by day. These were mostly young men, free and noble spirits, and David inspired them. His leadership was accepted by them voluntarily, with fidelity and enthusiasm, and he would mold them into warriors for God, like the army of God. He would mold them into warriors for God, like the army of God. Hold on to that thought. Don't let that go. We're going to come back to that at the end. But first, let us acknowledge that God indeed had answered David's prayer when he said, no one cares for me. And God sent him 600 people that did. Now turn to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Another prayer comes from the lips of David while he is in the cave. And you'll notice a more upbeat tone, a higher note is prayed by David at this moment. There, verse 1, it says, to the chief musician set to do not destroy, a miktam of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I'm going to trust in you, God. Again, I cry out to you, God. Continue to watch over me until these calamities pass by. David had hope for the future that they would. I cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. Indeed, God did send from heaven and save David. Here approaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Now David still recognized that he was in trouble. Verse 4, my soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down, and they have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah. So David ends his psalm by saying, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches into the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. You see, David's prayers from the cave kept him going. Cave prayers are powerful prayers. Cave songs are powerful songs. And David here in this cave song and cave prayer definitely has more hope than the first one and praises God. Now let's turn back to 1 Samuel 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. And notice next there, verse 3 and verse 4. It says, David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here to you till I know what God will do for me. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now David's parents must be really, really old by now. And the goodness and kindness of David is shown to his mother and father. And if we want to have a heart for God, that also should not be neglected by us to our parents as well. In early life, we need the care of parents. But in old age, they need that of the children. It is the fifth commandment of the ten. The proverb writer even says in Proverbs 23 and verse 22, despise not your mother when she is old. Jesus affirms the fifth commandment in Matthew 15 and verse 4, to honor your father and your mother, and rebuked those Pharisees and scribes that had done so. Even Paul himself in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4 says that piety must first be shown at home. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them care for them. To repay them the good, he says, that has been shown to them as a youth. And so be kind to your parents if you'd have your kids to be kind to you. It should be a joy and not a burden. And David, a man after God's own heart, saw to it that his parents would be cared for. Now it is interesting who he seeks that help from. David takes him to the king of Moab. Now why go there? You might recall who David's great-grandmother is. It was Ruth, a Moabitess, and how she came with Naomi And Ruth eventually marries Boaz, and the rest is history, as we say. David eventually comes in time as a great grandson. So there is some family connection there. But still, we might say, why would the king of Moab help? Well, you've heard the old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That most likely is the reason why he helps David. You see, as long as Saul is preoccupied with David, then he's not preoccupied with Moab. Sure, David, we'll care for your parents. We'll keep them alive. You stay hidden. You stay on the run. And so David secures safety and provision for his mother and his father. But now notice verse 5. Who else gathers to David in the stronghold? It says, now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah. So David departed and went to the forest of Hereth. Gad the prophet gathers next to David. And this verse should not be overlooked. Gad is a key figure in the life of David. There are 6 references to Gad the prophet in 1 and 2 Samuel. There are 7 references of Gad the prophet in 1 and 2 Chronicles. He would go on to play a leading role in leading Israel back to worship in God. He would live to see the temple built. So that means he would outlive David. He would also be the one to rebuke David for numbering Israel. But he would also be a key historian in David's reign. The Bible tells us that in 1 Chronicles 29:29. As much of the acts of David, the Bible says, were recorded by Gad, the prophet. And so think about all that have gathered here to David. He's got his family at first, mighty men of valor to come, and even Gad the prophet. David was living on a prayer, and he was more than halfway there, if we might say. He had many that were gathered to him, but he knew before all they came, it was God that was with him in the cave. Now, as we close, I want you to think about the Christ who was to come. David was the king pointing to the actual king. He was the anointed pointing to the actual anointed. And he calls all to come to him. But who actually came to him? Who was it? Who was it that came to David? Absent were the worldly wise. Absent were the powerful and the noble. Absent were the people that had it all sorted out in life. No, it was the distressed. It was the ones in debt. It was the discontented. Those that were in bitterness of soul. It is to that same that would come to King Jesus as well. And it makes sense. Why come for help if you need no help? It is those that come for help that come to Jesus. If life is great and we have no problems, then we do not see the need for Him. The sad reality is that all have problems. They're just often ignorant or blind to the fact that they have problems, because the Bible says the greatest of problems have come to all of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are in need. All have the sin disease, the truly dead virus that is 100% fatal for every single soul. But until we realize that, until we recognize that we either come broken to Jesus or we come not at all, then we do not come to Him or grow close to Him at His side. We need help out of all the mess we've made, the mess of sin in our lives. And until we recognize that, we don't come to the cave of Christ. And we can't be as David molded his mighty men into these men that would go on to accomplish fantastic feats of military victory. Just almost unheard of. They were the Navy SEALs of the day. Until we first come distressed and bitterness of soul, recognizing that we are in debt to God and the debt cannot be paid except by Jesus Christ, then we cannot be molded and fashioned into warriors of God to become the army of God, as what was taking place with David in his day. Remember, I told you to hold on to that thought. Day by day, they gathered to David until they became a great army, the army of God. So, dear friend, the question comes to you and to I. Will you join with your anointed king? Will you fall into the ranks of the army, become his mighty men of valor, because he molds you and he fashions you into the warrior that you should become? And then go on to win against all odds, unimaginable victories for your Lord and your Savior. Because the Lord fights with us and for us. And we shall conquer with him. So I guess the question then is, are you distressed and in debt of sin? Will you do as the Lord asks? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:29. Friend, you need a shelter. You need a Savior. You need to come to the cave of Christ. And if you're willing to repent of your sins, saying, I'm tired of that debt, I ask it to be blotted out, I ask it to be forgiven, and until you're willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, you can't become his child, you can't become his soldier. So will you not begin that journey today, coming to Christ, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and allow him to give you rest? If you're willing to do that, won't you make that known while we sing this song of invitation, 333, Jesus will give you rest. Will you come, will you come with your poor broken heart, burden and sin oppressed? Lay it down at the feet of your Savior and Lord, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come? Will you come? There is mercy for you, balm for your aching breast. Obey Jesus, your Lord, heed his every command. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come? Will you come? How he pleads with you now. Fly to his loving breast. And whatever your sin or your sorrow may be, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Thank you for being here this morning, brethren. I look forward to continuing this study in David. Tonight will be titled, Good Fruit Cannot Come from Bad Trees, as we'll continue our look at 1 Samuel 22. If we would now be dismissed in closing prayer, I think it's Brother Thomas that's going to do that for us.
Dear Father, we are thankful that you allowed us this time to meet together this morning on this Lord's Day, and thankful for the weather to do it in. And as we learned this morning, Father, that David was a man after your own heart, and in times of troubles and trials and temptations, he would turn to you at these moments in his life. And we too, Father, take part in our lives. We turn to you, and it will give us strength, that you would give us strength and help us through these times. Help us in our decision making as well. We pray for this time, Father, Alice and her condition, as well as the Rosses as they battle this COVID and hope their health will be back home soon. They may be back among us. We think about the two girls.
Brother?
Yes, sir.
Good. You got to hold down that top button.